You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Today, The Art of Orchestration, featuring Jonathan Tunick, Michael Starobin, Hans Spialik, and the words of Robert Russell Bennett. This program was originally broadcast in 1986.
This is Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater, past, present, and future. I'm your host, Paul Lazarus. Today, a look at the art of orchestration, as practiced by four of Broadway's best, Hans Spialik, Jonathan Tunick, Michael Starobin, and Robert Russell Bennett.
I sit at the same cluttered-up desk hour after hour, almost unconscious of the thousands of movements of the pen in my hand. I am not tired. I am excited. I vaguely hate the symptoms of sunrise that show at the east window, but it has no chance to get much attention from me. I'm not even conscious of the reasons for being here. The recording session 5 hours from now, the music copyist who will be here any minute for another 10 pages of score, the money I'll get from the job, the ears waiting to hear the sounds I'm conceiving. None of these are what has kept me awake since 6 a.m. yesterday. But the sound of those violas, cellos, and horns is doing something I never heard before, and I'm excited. Their sound must be captured and put into a language that the players can understand and translate into live music. If I don't get these marks on paper, no one else will ever hear what I'm hearing.
The words of veteran orchestrator Robert Russell Bennett, read by Herb Foster. The orchestrator's contribution to musical theater has traditionally been undervalued. Hans Spialik's work wasn't even acknowledged in theater programs until 1926, when he orchestrated the revue Americana.
And it was the first time I had my name on the program.
As orchestrator?
And yeah, as orchestrator, nobody had a name on the program. And you know where under the credits at the end? I. Miller Shoes. Orchestrations by Hans Spialik.
Jonathan Tunick prefers the term arranger to orchestrator as being more comprehensive.
Arranger is a musician who uses the same skills as a composer to either finish a piece of music that is incomplete in some way or to adapt a piece of music that is finished to some other medium. That adaptation can take any form. It can be transferring it from one performance medium to another. You can arrange a piece that was written for string orchestra, for organ. Now when we move that definition over to the specialty of orchestration, which means specifically applying these skills to adaptation for orchestra, well, I guess I've defined it.
Michael Starobin's work is an expansion of the composer's intentions.
A composer or a songwriter writes his song sitting at a piano playing the piano. It's written for the piano, which is a rhythm instrument which doesn't sustain, has pretty much a similar color over the whole keyboard, though that color can be changed. You then take that song and as a designer respond to it, to the emotional nuances of the song or lack thereof. Or, if you're asked to, you go against the emotional nuances that are in the song and respond to it by placing what the composer's written into the instruments. Additional material if what he's written is so pianistic it can't fit other instruments, or just added material that responds to what he's doing and supports it.
Four Jews in a room bitching. Four Jews in a room plot. Hey, crime. I'm bitching, he's bitching, they're bitching, we're bitching. Bitch, 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 bitch. Funny, 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 funny. Bitch, 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 bitch. All the time.
What do they do for love? What do they do for love?
Four Jews in a room.
What do they do for love?
Four Jews in a room. Stoop.
They stoop.
To pray.
I'm Jewish,
half Jewish. Bitch, 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 bitch. Funny, 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 funny. Bitch, 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 bitch. Night and day, if baby seems a bit peculiar, we are psychopathic people. We sometimes tell a lie, but mostly we just hide behind the door. We lie and wait for someone good to enter. We offer food and drinks. The lady never thinks that we're the mad. We're often mad, too often mad. We're very mad that we're the mad experimenters. Call us four Jews itching for answers.
The opening of William Finn's March of the Falsettos, orchestrated by Michael Starobin.
A really important thing for orchestration is to play different instruments. And I'm a pianist, basically, not a particularly good one. But in the past, when I was younger, I played flute, tuba, bass, a teeny bit of viola, percussion, timpani, playing all those things, even the little bit, helps you understand how they work, how to get the colors out of them.
March, march, march of the falsettos, march of the falsettos. Who is man enough to march to march of the falsettos? One foot following the other, teach it to your brother, make him march, march, march of the falsettos, march of the falsettos. March a little bit, march a little bit, march a little bit on. Four men marching in one long column, never touching but always solemn. Four men marching but never mincing. Four men marching is so convincing.
Robert Russell Bennett is best remembered for his orchestrations of Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals. In his book, Instrumentally Speaking, he described himself as the missing part of the composer.
You are engaged to work with a composer and put his melodies into shape for a performance in the theater. Your task is to be a part of him, the part that is missing. He may be capable of doing the whole score himself, or he may not know a G clef from a gargoyle. Your job is to bring in whatever he doesn't, and make it feel like it belongs there.
Michael Starobin puts it another way.
As I'm working on a piece, I don't feel like I'm doing something separate from what the composer has done. I feel like I'm continuing a job they've done, and in a well-orchestrated work that's well-composed too, you really don't hear the seams. I mean, they are the same thing.
Jonathan Tunick.
I like to sit down with the composer and lyricist and just have them play through everything and talk about it, whatever questions come up, which are usually dramatic questions. If the music is literately written and notated adequately, then there are very few questions to ask about that. I mean, I might ask, if there's some discrepancy in the notation, I'll check on that. But usually, what you want to know is what are the dramatic elements here and what are our intentions dramatically, which may not always be apparent.
There's a terrific band and a real nice crowd. That's what Angie said. Never will understand, with a whole evening planned, how I got here instead. I defrosted a lamb chop and was going to watch a movie on TV. Now I'm standing under a neon sign, watching it shine on me. There's a terrific band and a real nice crowd, and it'll do me good to get out. It isn't a singles bar, it's only a ballroom. So what am I so nervous about? What if no one asks me to dance? What if someone asks me to dance? What if I catch the next bus?
Billy Goldenberg's music, Jonathan Tunick's orchestration from Ballroom. Orchestrator Michael Starobin claims that his responsibility is to deal with words as well as music.
The one thing that's hard to learn to do is to support a lyric without getting in the way of it. And as an orchestrator, you don't deal with words directly, but very indirectly you deal with them constantly. And that's something where, yes, all composers will say to you, that's too busy. And I tend to get a little too busy sometimes.
At the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee,
we feel no animosity, and yet our heads are spinning.
We are the slightest bit bizarre.
But since the time is now,
holy cow,
we shall make a solemn vow to concentrate on winning.
We concentrate on winning.
Jonathan Tunick feels an important part of his job is to support the singer.
You hear a voice, and you get to know that voice, and what kind of background suits that voice, and will show it off best. And it's possible to really enhance a voice, to make dull notes brighter, to make notes that are too bright smoother, with an appropriate background. Having an orchestration written for you is like being fitted for a suit or a dress that's made for you, as opposed to buying it off the rack.
Hans Bialik, famous for his work with Rodgers and Hart and Cole Porter, agrees.
I always ask, please tell me, are you really comfy?
So you really think the orchestration should really make the singer comfortable?
Oh, it makes the singer, gives a certain inspiration to divert. Sometimes they wait for certain figures, and when they go out of town with the show, the flute player or the thing doesn't play it, they ask, what happened to that figure?
From Rodgers and Hart's On Your Toes, orchestrated by Hans Bialik.
To get away, Junior, somewhere alone with you. It could be oh so gay, Junior. You need a laugh or two. A certain place I know, Junior, where funny people can have fun. That's where we two.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
This is Anything Goes with Paul Lazarus. Jonathan Tunick acknowledges that the old theater orchestra is changing fast.
The hip sound now is electric, and conventional instruments are quaint. We have a whole generation that's never heard an orchestra. That's perhaps heard a recording of an orchestra, but's never heard an orchestra. Or perhaps has even heard an orchestra mic'd and coming through a speaker in a theater. Those are the parents of the people who have never even heard that. They've only heard synthesizers.
Michael Starobin welcomes the orchestrator's new electronic tools.
The synthesizer is, to me, one of the most powerful tools because it can change its personality so quickly. Its personality, one has to grant, is an electronic one. It's not nearly as warm as a live musician playing an instrument. It can never replace that. And its value in those areas is not high. But its value as a source of color to support live musicians, to create color, to create really magical sounds, is invaluable. And for theater in particular, it's a wonderful instrument because that quick change of color and personality is what orchestration in the theater needs.
Each of the orchestrators I spoke to described memorable shows he'd worked on. Hans Bialik recalled working with Cole Porter in 1930 on The New Yorkers, which featured such great songs as Love for Sale and Let's Fly Away.
He also had a song. It was called I Happen to Like New York.
Oh, yes, I love that song.
Now, this I did strictly, and it was written that way, in the Ravel style, you know. He was crazy about the orchestration, and you know what he did? He hired the orchestra after rehearsals for a half an hour, and he sat on the stage with a glass of, you know, he drank, he had a glass of, and had the orchestra play, I happened to like New York. He himself sitting on the bare stage at its
Cole Porter sitting on the stage listening to his own song with champagne. That's tremendous.
I happen to like New York. I happen to like this town. I like the city air. I like to drink of it. The more I know New York, the more I think of it. I like the sight and the sound and even the stink of it. I happen to like New York. I like to go to Battery Park and watch those liners booming in. I often ask myself, why should it be that they should come so far from across the sea? I suppose it's because they all agree with me. They happen to like New York. Last Sunday afternoon, I took a trip to Hackensack. But after I gave Hackensack the once over, I took the next train back. I happen to like New York. I happen to love this book. And when I have to give the world a last farewell, and the undertaker starts to ring my funeral bell, I don't want to go to heaven, don't want to go to hell. I happen to like New York. I happen to like New York.
Jonathan Tunick met the challenge of orchestrating Stephen Sondheim's specific overtures with its Japanese-influenced score by preparing in an unusual way.
Maybe I shouldn't admit this. My research consisted of the following. I have a friend who is a percussionist who has a large collection of exotic instruments from all over the world, from Japan and every other country in the world. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a guided tour of his collection. I took notes and ordered some of these instruments to be used. Relatively few of them were Japanese. I bought a book on Kabuki theater and read it, and I got some records of Kabuki music, and I read the liner notes. That was my research.
Michael Starobin has also worked with Sondheim on Sunday in the Park with George, a show that required both contemporary and period sounds from the orchestra.
The orchestration was determined for Sunday in the Park without any of the 20th century music having been written. And when that came along, I just sort of had to find a way to get that out of. Basically, what I did is I asked the reed players at that point to switch to saxophones. I gave the drummer a hi-hat to play to imitate a drum set. And the synthesizer, I then switched from more subtle sounds to more electronic sounds. Orchestration is a desk job. It's theater work, but it's a desk job. There's something wonderful about sitting in your own space with your materials around you, at your desk, with your piano there, and discovering something and creating something at that desk. To me, sometimes the most profound, wonderful moment is not the realization of the players playing it, but that finding that texture and like going, yes, I can do that here, and yes, I can do that there, at the desk, mm-hmm. and hearing it, hearing the orchestra at your desk. That can be, to me, the most exciting moment of theater.
I only wanted to love and not be blamed. Let me go, you should know I'm not ashamed to have loved you.
I love you more than I meant to. In my profession, one's love stays unexpressed. Here we stand, take my hand. God, I'm distressed. How I love
I
you.
I hate the world.
He hates everything.
I love my dad.
He loves his father.
I love the things I've never had.
Love our family.
Lord, hear our call.
Help us all.
Help us all.
Help us all. Help us all.
I never wanted to love you. I never wanted till death do we two part. Condescend, stay my friend. How do I start?
Hans Bialik recalled the first orchestra run-through for On Your Toes in Boston. As he remarked, orchestrators rarely get noticed by anyone.
The only real appreciation as an arranger, and that concerns newspapers, people, composers and all that, I got in On Your Toes, and neither from the composer nor from the papers, nothing. But I share what happened at the reading rehearsal, at the orchestra reading in Boston. No actor was supposed to be on the stage, nothing. Unknown to us, I didn't notice much, and I didn't know him at that time either. Rebels was sitting on the stage. And then they play Small Hotel. Then I found out, says, "Hey, Ray." He was crying, tears were running. Says, "What's the matter? You don't like it?" Because he sang it. Not in the show, he or she sings it first. In the original, he sang it first. Uh-huh. Says, what's the matter with you? You don't like it? Says, "No, Dick, it's so beautiful." Mm. That was the only real appreciation as an arranger among all those billions of notes I wrote through the years, you know. Mm. I got naturally, I got wonderful press releases, I got bad ones. You have to take it whatever you get.
I'd like to get away, Junior, somewhere alone with you. It could be so gay, Junior. You need a laugh or two.
A certain place I know, Frankie, where funny people can have fun. That's where we two will go, darling, before you can count up one, two, three.
Creep into our little
little shell, and we will thank the small hotel together.
Listening to The Art of Orchestration. Sound mixing by David Rapkin. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.